Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We have four lines from the top. We're more discussing the halachos of Kshira, the halacha of tying, of untying on Shabbos. The Mishnah gave us some examples of tying, which is absolutely permitted. It is mutal chatchil without any concern whatsoever, because these are the types of knots which are meant to be tied and untied on a daily basis. So they don't even remotely resemble the concept of a kesher shel kayama. Now, one of those examples are the case of the isha who ties the mafteach chalukah, the flaps of her garment. So she ties them shut, as Rashi says, no concern, because it's meant to be untied on a daily basis. Says the Gemara, four lines from the top, mafteach chalukah, so she ties the opening of her garment, so there's a flap on one side and a flap on the other, and she ties them together. Says the Gemara, what's the chiddush here? Pshita, isn't this self-evident? If it's something which is meant to be untied on a daily basis, why would I think there's a problem? Lo yitzricha, says the Gemara, apparently we're speaking about lo yitzricha de islay trei dashi. This garment has a double set. Dashi means an opening, a doorway. So it has a double entrance, a double axis, a double set of these flaps. One on top, one on bottom, where she can merely leave one in its place and untie one, leave the other in its place. So perhaps, I would think, mal detem, perhaps I can go ahead and say, chadu minayu, bitule miftel, one of these sets are just left alone, are meant to remain there permanently. Now we don't know which one she's going to open, which one she's going to leave in place. So Rashi says, if so, then both of them perhaps should have a din of a permanent knot, because one of them can be left in place. So that's the Havamina, that's what I would think. Komash Malon, the Mishnah informs us, no, they both do not constitute a Kesher Shel Kayama. They're considered to be non-resembling a Kesher Shel Kayama whatsoever. Why? Explain the Rishonim. Because since she has an option to open either one, to untie either one, so potentially each one of these flaps stands to be opened. We just don't know which one. So since each one of them stands to be opened potentially, therefore, they are not regarded as a problem. They're not considered to be a kesher shel kayama. Continues the Gemara. V'chutei svacha. So these are the straps for her head covering. See here as well, says, pshita, of course. She's going to open it on a daily basis. What is the chiddush here? Isn't this self-evident? Lo yitzricha, says the Gemara. Apparently, we're speaking about the revicha law, that the head covering here is loose on her head, so she can simply slip it off without untying those straps. Malda tema, perhaps you'll be room to say mishlev shofala, that she'll simply slide it off her head without untying those straps, and therefore they are considered to be permanent knots. Kamash Milan, the Mishnah informs us there's no concern. The isha chas al sara, a woman takes care of her hair, and she's concerned. Chasami, she's concerned about her hair, and she wouldn't want it to be ripped off by way of taking this head covering off in this manner. And indeed, she unties this head covering properly so that she can take it off without any concern of ruining her hair. Continues the Gemara. These are the shoe and sandal straps. Here as well, there's no concern because they are meant to be untied on a daily basis. Itmar, we learned. We have a three-way machlokes. Hitir ritsuis, minol v'sandal. One, untied the ritsuis, those straps of the minol, the shuv v'sandal, the sandal. Tani chada, we learned in one brisa, chayev chatas. He is chayev chatas. Apparently, this brisa considers these shoe and sandal straps as a kesher shel kayama, as permanent knots. If he unties them, he's chayev chatas. V'tani idach, we learned in another brisa, potter aval asr. If he unties these, he's potter. There's no chatas involved, but it's asr d'rabban. Apparently, this brisa considers these knots as a kesher she'enei shel kayama, a temporary knot. It's asam d'rabbanon. V'tani idach, we learned yet a third brisa, mutal chatchila, is permitted. Initially, there's no concern whatsoever. This brisa does not even regard these knots as anywhere close to kesher shel kayama. Therefore, it's mutal chatchila. So we have a contradiction. Kashya minal amino. We have a kashya regarding the halacha of a shoe strap from one brisa onto the other. Kashya sandal, a sandal. Likewise, we have a kashya regarding a sandal. Says Ramino Amino Lekasha. There's no contradiction from one Bryce on the other regarding the halacha of the shunats. Lekasha Hodik Tani Chayav Chatos. The Bryce which speaks about Chayav Chatos. So all Bryces, all three of them are representing three different types, varieties of knots. Hodik Tani Chayav Chatos. The Bryce which said that he's Chayav Chatos for untying this is speaking about. But the ushkafi, we're speaking about the knot, which is tied by the ushkafi, by the craftsman, by the shoemaker. This is a kesher shekayama, it's a permanent knot. The braisa, which says potar al asur, and only regards this knot as a temporary knot, as a kesher she'ena shekayama. Potar al asur, but the rabbanon is speaking about the knot, which is present on the shoes of the rabbanon. As Rashi will explain, they're not done in a way which they are considered permanent. Whereas the third braisa, mutal chatchila, is speaking about bidivnei mechayza, speaking about the residents of the town of mechayza, who had their shoes very tightly fastened, and they needed to untie these knots on a nightly basis. Therefore, there's no concern there whatsoever. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, who will explain these three types of knots. 13 lines from the top, beginning with the word bidushchafi. So this is the permanent knot. The kesher sho ushchaf oise, the kesher which the shoemaker makes kshetoyche beretzo b'mino, when he inserts the strap into the shoe kosher kesher mitoyche, he fashions a knot from within shleitu chalotzei, so that the strap cannot leave, cannot fall out b'ukayim la'olam, and this knot it stays there for all time. The second level is the kesher she'ena shel kayama, the temporary knot, which is b'derabbanan. Kishakoshrim saviv ragleim, when they tie their shoe around their feet, ein koshrim b'doichik, they don't do it tight. Shepa'amim shechotzu shu kosher v'noyelok shu kosher, sometimes they slip it off and on when it's still tied, so they leave it a bit loose. So it's a knot, it's a tight knot, but they do it in a way which their shoe can simply slip off and on while the knot is intact. Umiu, says Rashi, but if so, if the knot was always present, then why is this not a kesher shekayama? Says Rashi, umiu kesher shekayama lo yave. It's not regarded as a permanent knot. Why? Shebushas hatit, when they walk on the mud, matir noisei, they need to untie this knot. Why? Vekoish noisei v'doichak, and they retie it tightly. They fasten their shoe to their foot very, very well. Shelo yidbak shelo yidbak betit, so that the shoe doesn't attach itself to the mud, v'yishamet v'raglov, and it will simply slip off of his foot. So he tightens it, he readjusts the knot. So because the shoe is not really fastened properly onto his foot, he needs to readjust it when he gets to the muddy areas. Therefore, Rashi explains, it's not considered to be a permanent knot, and therefore it's only asur d'rabbanan. Where is the third level, the one which is untied on a daily basis, b'dvnei mechayza? Shem rechavei leva, of their wide-hearted, broad-spirited people, makpidim al v'shein, they're very meticulous about their clothing, v'nalei, about their shoes, liyis mechuvanim, that they be exact and precise, v'koishin oisei b'doichak, so they tie their shoe very firmly, they fasten very tight, v'tzorech latiri aris, and as a result of that, they need to untie it on a nightly basis. So therefore, this kesher is no concern whatsoever. It's something which is undone on a daily basis, and therefore it is mutal chatchil. Continues the Gemara. So we just answer the contradiction between the braises discussing the ritzuos minol. What about the ritzuos of the sandal straps? We have a three of machlokes. One braise which says chayv chatos, the other one which says asam drabon, and the third one which says mutal chatchil. Says the Gemara, likewise, all three are representing three different varieties of knots. Sandal asandal lekasha. This is the third white line, right in the middle of the third white line. Sandal asandal lekasha. Why? Ha diktani chayev chatos. The braisa which says chayev chatos. But the tie is speaking about the sandal straps which are tied for the which are worn by the Yishmaelim, the Arab merchants, the katri ushchafi, which the ushchafi, those shoemakers, those professionals tie for them, and those knots are permanent knots. The braisa which says potav al asur, that's speaking about ordinary knots, but the chumra saw these amateur knots, the katri inu, that ordinary people tie for themselves. So these things are not meant to last for all time. Rashi says, eventually they get untied. Sometimes they stick around for a week or a month, but it's not something which is considered permanent. Whereas the third braisa, mutal chatchila, It's speaking about besandal, the nafkibay bay tray. It's speaking about a strap, a knot on a strap of a sandal, which is used by two people. So people, two people alternate. The nafkibay that go out with a bay tray, two people. So they need to constantly adjust and readjust it in order to fit their respective feet. So the so this is something which gets adjusted on a daily basis, and therefore it is mutal chatchila. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, like you find in the story of Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda Achva, the brother of the Rav Salah Chasida, Havalei, Hahu Zuga the sandal. He had this pair of sandals, Zimnin, at times, the Nafak Be'iu. He wore it, he went out with it. Zimnin, at times, Nafak Be'yunuke. His young son went out with it. So he needed to constantly readjust these straps. Also, Kamida Abayi. So Rav Yehuda came to Abayi, Omerle, and he asked him, Kai Gavna Mai. What is the halacha in this case? It was a Shabbos. Can I adjust it? Can I retie these straps for my son? Amar lechayv. Sabai responded, chayv chatas. This is a true knot. This is a kesha shel kayama. Chayv chatas. You can't do that. Amar le. So Rav Yehuda responded, he was perplexed. He said, hashta potter aval aser kokashli. If you would have told me that there's an isser involved, that it's potter, but it's asim drabanan, I wouldn't have comprehended it. It would have been difficult for me to understand why. Why you'd be saying that? Chayev chatas ka'amrisli? Not only do you say that it's asim drabanan, you even told me chayev chatas. How can that be? Now it was Abai's turn to be perplexed. He says, my time. So Abai responded, why are you surprised that it's asim? This is a kesher shel kayama. Looks like a solid, true knot. Amar leis Rav Yehuda explained. He said, mishun de b'choil nami, because even during the weekdays, zimnin, at times, nafik nebei ano, sometimes I wear it. Zimnin, nafik nebei yunuka, sometimes he wears it. So since I wear it sometimes, my son wears it sometimes, so it's constantly being adjusted, untied and retied on a daily basis. Amar leis, so now Abai said to him, Iyachi, oh, if that's the case, just provide me important information. Iyachi, mutal chatchil, if so, it's mutar without any concern. So in summary, the Gemara told us that the three brises, which seem to contradict each other, are actually speaking about three different varieties of knots. We're speaking about the knots which are present in the straps, the ritzuris of the minnel, the ritzuris of the sandal. The first brise, which says chayev chatas, is speaking about the permanent variety, the ones that were made by the ushchefi, by the shoemakers. The brise, which says potav al asr, is speaking about the knots which are not permanent. They resemble permanent knots, therefore the asam midrabanan. But these aren't permanent knots. We're speaking about the straps of the rabbinic shoes. We're speaking about the straps of the ordinary people who tie their own knots. Chumrasa, that the amateur knots. And these are not meant to stay on for all time. Whereas the braisa, which says that these knots are mutal chatchila, is speaking about those types which get untied on a daily basis. For instance, the shoe straps of the B'nai Mechoyza who need to untie it on a nightly basis. Whereas the sandal is speaking about a sandal which is shared by two people and needs to be constantly readjusted according to their respective size, and therefore is mutah since it is not something which stays, it's something which is adjusted on a daily basis. Continues the Gemara, Rav Yirmiya, Hava Ka'azal Basrei de Ravo, Bekarmelis. So Rav Yirmiya was walking behind Ravo in a karmelis. If Siklei Ritzur the sandali. So Rabbi Yirmiya's sandal, the ritzur, the strap, snapped off his sandal. Amar leh, so Rabbi Yirmiya asked Ravo, my navila, what should I do with it? Amar leh, shekoil gemilach, take a moist regrass, the chazi lemachal behem, which is suitable for animal feed, therefore it's not muktzah, v'karich v'kroich iluvei, and wrap it on the sandal instead of the strap, and this way you can wear it till you get to an enclosed area. Continues Gemara with another similar story. Abaye havakoy kamedar of Yosef. Abaye was present in front of Yosef. So he was standing in front of him. Some say there was a girsa ka'azal basar of Yosef. He was walking behind him. And a similar thing happened. Except that this time it wasn't in a closed area. Rashi says it was in a chatzar. If sikle ritzua, so his strap snapped off his sandal. Amalei, so he asked Rav Yosef, my yavidle, what should I do with it? Amalei shavke, just leave it alone. You cannot handle it. You can't wear it. You can't carry it. It's moktsa. So he asked him, my shna, but Rav Yirmiya, why is this case different than Rav Yirmiya's case where he allowed Avo allowed Rabbi Yirmiyah to carry, to wear the sandal using the gami. So he said, there's a big difference. Hossam over there, Leiminter, it wasn't in a protected area. The sandal, Leiminter, wasn't safeguarded. It was an open area. It was out in the field. Therefore, the Chacham allowed to do this solution so that he doesn't come, perhaps, to actually carry it. So there's a special allowance in a place which is not safeguarded. Hacha. However, in our case, Minter, we're speaking about an enclosed area, and the sandal is perfectly safeguarded, it's secure, it's safe. Therefore, there's no allowance. So Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, but I don't understand, why should it be muksa to begin with? V'hamanu. It's a kli, it's considered to be a utensil. Why? De'ibu'ina, because if I would like, hafichnale, I could simply swap the sandal, I could switch it, mi'milismayil, from my right foot to my left foot. What does he mean to say? So Rashi explains that the sandal was fashioned in this manner. It had a flat bottom, a hard bottom made of wood or hard leather. So this is the sandal on one's right foot. Now, on either side, on the inner side or the outer side, there were the two oznaim, these two flaps, which were there for support. Rashi says they actually, one would grab onto the flap when he put on the sandal. So there was a flap going up here, a flap going up here. Then there was the tarsiyos, these loops, which in which the straps would go through. And the tarsiyos as well were one on each side of the sandal. There was an inner one and an outer one. Now Rashi explains that when the inner flap or loop breaks off, rips, one would go ahead and repair the sandal because it's not so visible. Because it's an inner one, it's facing the other foot. As opposed to the outer loop or the outer flap which breaks, one doesn't bother repairing the sandal because it's visible, it would look clumsy, something which is seen by all. So this case of Abaye, his strap, his loop that snapped off is referring to the outer loop, which is visible. Nevertheless, says Abaye, there's no concern. This sandal is still considered a utensil or kli. It's still suitable. It's still fit for service. Why? The Iboina. Because if I would like, I can simply switch it over and use it on my left foot. So this is the right sandal on the right foot. This is the left sandal on the left foot. Now, although the damage occurred on the outer portion of the sandal, which is visible, says Abaye, a simple solution. I could simply swap it and use it as my left sandal, in which case the broken loop would not be so visible because it's facing my other foot. So why can't this be a simple solution? Since I can go ahead and switch it over and use it as a left-footed sandal, so why do you consider it muktzah? Why do you say I need to leave it there? I can't carry it home, wrap a gemi around it and carry it home. It's muktzah, it's not a kli. Why isn't it a kli? I can simply use it as a left sandal, in which case the damage is hidden, in which case it is still considered a kli. Amar lei. So Rav Yosef responded, this svara of swapping, of switching from one foot to the other, it doesn't really hold. Why? Midah kometaretz Rav Yochanan, alib Rav Yehuda, from the fact that we see that Rav Yochanan was metaretz, he interpreted, he clarified the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who maintains that switching sandals, switching feet, is not an option, does not grant the sandal a teres kli, a status of a utensil. He holds that if the outer loop or outer flap breaks off, since it's visible and noticeable, this is no longer regarded as a kli. The sandal is nullified. He doesn't hold it as far that, well, I could switch it over to the other foot. That can't grant it a status of kli. So let's review the shita, and we see that Rav Yochanan clarified review the shita. Shma mino, we hear from this. Apparently, halach Rav Yehuda. Apparently, the fact that Rav Yochanan took pains to explain Rav Yehuda's opinion. Apparently, that's how we rule. And therefore, the fact that you can go ahead and switch it, and it's a potential left-footed sandal, that doesn't grant it a din of a kli, since the outer loop snapped off. It is batel, it's muktzah, and you cannot carry it. Says Ramayhi, what is he referring to? Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, the Sani is going to the price. Sandal shenifsuku shtei oznav. So if both flaps, both oznaim, were snapped off this sandal, Or both its loops, the loop which contained the straps. So the inner one and the outer one went, or the entire sole was removed. Tahir is no longer makabel tumah, it is no longer regarded as a kli, it's useless. However, achas mioznov, if only one of its flaps snapped off, or achas mitarsiyosov, or one of its loops snapped off, so it doesn't matter if it's the inner one or the outer one, or shenitel reva kavshaloi, or only most of the sole was removed, tumah, it is still makabel tumah. So let's say it was tumah and then it snapped, it still retained its tumah status, it's still regarded as a kli. So according to this shita, it's irrelevant whether it's the inner loop or the outer loop, it's still regarded as a kli, apparently. Since he can go ahead and swap feet. So if it was the outer loop, which snapped off on the right sandal, he can simply switch feet, he can use it as a left-footed sandal, in which case the outer loop wouldn't be visible now, because it's facing the interior, it's facing his other foot. So this is the shita of the Tanakam. If only one loop or one flap goes, it's still makabel tumah. It's still useful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. It depends if it's the inner one or the outer one. Nifsuka pnimis, if the inner one snapped, tameh, because it's not so visible, this kli is still regarded as a utensil, it's still useful. Hachitzoina, but if the outer loop or the outer flap goes, tahir, why? Because it's visible, it looks clumsy, one doesn't go ahead and repair this, it's no longer makabel tumah. So apparently he doesn't hold to this concept of switching feet. V'amarula, v'itema, some say it was Rabbi Rachana, Omer Rav Yochanan. So what does Rav Yochanan say? K'machlekes l'inyan tumah. Just as we find this machlekes regarding Hilchos tumah, whether or not it's regarded as a kli, when the outer loop snaps off, so according to Tanakama, it's still a kli for tumah, according to Rav Yochanan, it's not. The same machlekes we have regarding tumah, kach, machlekes l'inyan Shabbos, likewise. There will be a machlekes regarding Shabbos. According to the Tanakama, it's not moktsa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's moktsa. Aval loy leidin chalitza, but not with regard to the lachav chalitza, which is where the wife of the man who passed away without children, she removes the sandal from the dead man's brother who doesn't want to marry her. So for that, you need an actual sandal, a kosher sandal. Says Rabbi Yechanan, this machlekes will not apply to chalitza. Now, we're not sure what he means. Vavim, we asked for an explanation. Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba Deman. Who's Rabbi Yochanan coming to explain? Aliba Derabbanan. Is he coming to explain Derabbanan? And he's saying as follows, Medilin and Tumah, Manahavi. Just as Derabbanan regard this sandal, whose outer loop snapped off, and they regard it as a kli, with regard to Tumah. Medilin and Tumah, Manahavi. It's still a kli, it's still a utensil. It's still considered to be a functioning sandal. Linin Shabbos Nami Manahavi. Likewise, regarding Shabbos, it's still regarded as a kli, and it's not mukta. So that's only for Tumah and Shabbos. Hava loy lechalitza. But not regarding chalitza. The law of Manu, when it comes to chalitza, this is no longer regarded as a proper sandal. It's unsuitable for chalitza. Why? Because the outer loop snapped off. It's no longer useful. Says the Gemara, is that the case? Can you draw that distinction between chalitza and the other halachas? Why isn't kasha? Why isn't it suitable for chalitza? Fatnan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah? Chalitza shall smoil be a min. If the isha removes the left sandal from the man's right foot, so he switched feet, he placed the left sandal on his right foot, and she removed it from his right foot, chalitza is a ksheira. The chalitza is a perfect chalitza. So apparently, switching feet is legal when it comes to chalitza. So what's wrong with this sandal whose outer loops snapped off? You can simply go ahead and potentially switch it over to the other foot, as we find that if one actually switched feet, it's kosher. See here as well, why don't we regard the sandal as a proper sandal for chalitza, since potentially you can go ahead and switch it and it'll be fine? Says the Gemara, so apparently Rabbi Yechon wasn't coming to draw that distinction, according to the Chum, and nullify this type of sandal for chalitza. Certainly it's good for chalitza. Ve'ela, rather, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently Rabbi Yechon was coming to clarify Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as follows. Midilinian tum lav manu. From the fact that we see that Rabbi Yehuda does not regard it as a kli with regard to tumah, because the outer loop snapped, it's clumsy, it's visible, it's not useful any longer. It's not makabel tum. If so, just as linituma, lav manu, linin Shabbos nami, lav manu. Likewise, when it comes to Shabbos, it's not regarded as a clean, it's muktzah. Aval leil chalitza. However, when it comes to chalitza, we don't apply this concept. The manu, it is regarded as a proper kli, a proper utensil, a proper sandal for chalitza. Why? For this reason. Since we just brought a Mishnah that switching feet when chalitza is perfectly legal, likewise here as well. Since he can go ahead and actually switch it, let him go ahead and take the sandal, put it on his left foot, and then she can do the chalitza from his left foot. So if he actually does it, he puts it on his left foot. In this case, it's perfectly suitable. It's functioning properly. And therefore, contribute, it should be fine. Says the Gemara. But that can't be so. Eimar dam rinan. When do we say? That if she removes the left foot from his right, the left sandal from his right foot, it is a proper chalitza. Manu. That's only when you have a proper sandal. That for its designated function, it is a proper kli, meaning it functions properly for that foot that it's meant to be dressed on. So when he goes ahead and switches feet, fine, it's okay. Because as long as it's functioning properly, it's useful for the foot that it's meant to serve. So even if you go switch feet, it's fine. However, in this case, where the outer loop snapped off and it's no longer suitable to be used for a right-footed sandal, it can't serve any longer the right foot. For its purpose, for its designated function, it's not a kli. The Amar of Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda told us that if the outer loop snaps, it's tar, it's no longer a kli. Alma apparently lav manu, it's not regarded as a utensil. So how can Rav Yechon tell us that according to Rav Yehuda, although for tuma it's not a kli, for Shabbos it's not a kli, but for chalitza it's fine? Why? Because let him go ahead and switch feet, let him put on his left foot. That only works when you have a proper sandal. This sandal is nullified. It can't serve its proper function, its proper purpose. It doesn't dress the right foot. So you can't go ahead and switch it over to the left and say, well, now it's fine. Because if for its vain designation, it doesn't serve, it doesn't function, then even if you switch feet, it won't help you. Says Zimor La'olam Ali Rabbi Yehuda. Truthfully, Rabbi Yechon was clarifying Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Eima v'chein l'chalitza. Reword Rabbi Yechon's statement. Say as follows. V'chein l'chalitza. Rabbi Yechon was simply saying that just as Rabbi Yehuda nullifies this from a status of a kli with regard to Shabbat, with regard to Tumah, likewise with regard to Shabbos, and likewise with regard to chalitza, it is not suitable for chalitza. V'okamash malon. Indeed, Rabbi Yechon is exactly telling us this point. He's informing us, Dechi Amrinon, Chalitza Shal Smayel B'Shal Yimin, Chalitza Zek Shera. When do we say this halach? That if she removed the left foot from his right foot, it is a Kasha Chalitza? Hecha Del Milse Mano. That's only specifically in a case where it's a proper sandal. So for its function, for its designated purpose, it functions, it serves properly. It's a whole sandal. It's not missing anything. Therefore, even if you switch it, put it on the wrong foot, it's fine. Aval hachav, in our case, l'milsi l'manu, in our case where the outer loop snapped off, kod Rabbi Yehuda, it's nullified. It's no longer considered to be a functioning sandal. If so, even if you go and switch it and move it over to the other foot and hide the blemish, it doesn't help us. It won't grant it a status of a sandal and is no longer suitable. It can't be used for chalitza as well. So in summary, we had the halacha of a sandal which snapped, either the oizen, the flap, or the tarsiyos, those loops. So halacha is as follows. If both sides snapped off, all agree that it's batel, it's not makabel tumah, it's muktzah, it's unsuitable for chalitza. What if only one of these two sides, the inner or the outer one, snapped? So if the inner one snapped, all agree it's still a kli, it's still makabel tumah, it's not muktzah, it's kasher for chalitza. What if the outer one snapped and we have a machlekes? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's batel. According to Rabbana, it's still a kli. Rabbana hold. Since potentially he can go ahead and switch it, he can use it for the other foot and hide the blemish, that's sufficient to consider it to be still a functioning sandal. Rabbi Yehuda holds. Since for its primary function, its primary designation, it's no longer suitable, The fact that you can go ahead and switch it over, put it on the other foot, that's not sufficient to grant it a chashiva's significance as a kli, and therefore he holds it's batal completely, it's not makabel tumah, it's mukta, and pasul for chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Is that the case? Rabbi Yochanan ruled like Rabbi Yehuda, the outer loop snaps. It is no longer a kli. And that explained why Rabbi Yosef told Abaye that this sandal that he was wearing, whose outer loop snapped, is mukta, because Rabbi Yochanan apparently agrees, concurs with Rabbi Yehuda, who nullifies this from a kli status. Is that the case? Rabbi Yochanan ruled like that. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, Halacha is not Mishnah? That we're meant to follow, the Halacha is like an anonymous Mishnah. Utsnan, and we found an anonymous Mishnah in Kalim, which says as follows. Sandal shenifseka achas mi'oznav. So one of the oznayim, one of the flaps of the sandal snapped off. Now this sandal was tamei midras. So a zav walked on it, and he was matame, became a very stringent form of tumah, of avatumah. Now what if one of the flaps snapped off? Vitikna, and he repaired it, tamei midras. It is still tamei midras because, as we said earlier, when one flap comes off, it's still considered suitable. It's still a kli, so it still retains its midras status and still an avatum. Continues the Mishnah. Nifsika shnia. Now what happens if the second one snapped off? Vitikna, and he repaired it as well. Now we have a complete changeover. We have a new face here. We have a new item. Tor Matame Midras. It is no longer Matame Midras. Avotame Maga Midras. But it's still Tame Maga Midras, meaning it is still a Rishon L'Tumah, because since it was an Avotumah, so it gets downgraded. Rashi explains it touched itself. It's as though it touched itself. So what happens when something touches an Avotumah? It becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. But it is no longer regarded as that original item, as that original sandal. It's no longer an avatumah. It's no longer tamei midras. Why is that? Because, as we learned earlier, when both flaps break off of a sandal, in that case, certainly it's nullified, it's useless. So in this case, where one snapped off and he repaired it. So at this point, it was still considered a proper sandal, because it only lost one. But when it lost the second one and he repaired it, this is no longer the original item, because the original item is missing the two flaps are totally new entities. This is not the original sandal. The original sandal on its own would no longer be useful. It's only on account of the added flaps, the new flaps, in which make the sandal into a useful object. So therefore, it's considered to be a totally new item, has a totally new identity, and it no longer retains that original tumah, but it's still tumah maga medras. It's a rishon tumah because it touched itself. So the Mishnah tells us that if one flap snaps, it's still tumah, it's still considered to be a useful kli. Says the Gemara, my love, are you not going to say? Are you not going to interpret? Does the Mishnah not mean loishna pnimis, loishna chitzayna? It's irrelevant whether the inner flap went or the outer flap went. Either way, it's still regarded as a useful kli. The Mishnah doesn't differentiate. The Mishnah simply says one of the aznaim was nifsak. Apparently, even the outer one is still considered useful. So even if the chitzayna snapped, the kli is still a kli. So this is a kasha, because we have a stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, which tells us that even if the outer flap snapped, it's still regarded as useful. The sandal could still be used, apparently because of that svar, because it could be used for the other foot. So this is a Mishnah which espouses the shita of the Rabban, not Rabbi Yehuda. Says when Allah, Pnimius Dafka. When the Mishnah discussed the oizen snapping, was referring to the inner one, specifically the inner one. Abo chitzayna my tar. But if the outer one snapped, then you would agree with me that it's tar. Yachi, if that's the case, so why does the Mishnah continue and say, Adatani nifsiko shni avetikna? Why does the Mishnah proceed and say that the second one snapped, vitikna, and he repaired it, tar min amedras? Now it's considered to be a new kli, and it no longer retains its original identity, its original tumah, its tar from medras, ava tomei maga medras, but it's tomei maga medras. Why does the Mishnah need to go ahead and describe one flap snapping, and then the next flap snapping, to bring out the point of a new identity? The Mishnah could simply split the case in two. Nifla, listen to the da. Right in the beginning of the Mishnah, speaking about one flap, the Mishnah could have said a difference right here, make a distinction. Niflik, split, v'nisnibididah, and state within this case of the first flap, v'med v'mamur, when is this halacha stated that it retains its original status? And it's talking midras, shenifsika pnimis, when the inner one snapped, when it's still useful for its for being worn, and therefore it's still considered to be the original kli. Avachitsoina, but however, if the outer one snapped, then it's tar. So if this Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda, who differentiates between the inner one and the outer one, the Mishnah could have made that distinction and said, well, if the inner one snaps, it's still tummy. If the outer one goes, then it's tar. Why does the Mishnah have to specifically state a difference between one flap and two flaps? Apparently, there's no difference between the inner one and the outer one. Omar Yitzhak ben Yosef, Tehei Mishnah Seinu, we're going to interpret this Mishnah be sandal, in a unique sandal, not your typical sandal. Your typical sandal has only one flap on the inside, one flap on the outside, one loop on the inside, and one outer loop. This sandal discussed in this Mishnah in Kalim is speaking about a uniquely styled sandal, be sandal shleishle arba znaim, which possesses four of those flaps, two inner ones, two outer ones. And four of those straps, two inner ones and two outer ones. Shalai lishbar dvorav shal b'yechanan, or not to break the words of Yechanan. Meaning, yes, this Mishnah is in accordance with Yehuda, who holds that if the outer one snaps, it's nullified. When the Mishnah speaks about one flap snapping and the other flap snapping, it's talking about the inner flaps, both inner ones, because there were two inner ones. The Mishnah tells us that if both of them go, then it's considered to be a new kli, because the original kli is no longer here. However, certainly, if the outer one would snap, even just one outer one would snap, of course, it would be nullified. It is no longer considered to be a functioning sandal and is tar. Continues the Gemara, ki also Ravim, when Ravim came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, Rav Chana bar Abba, Amar Rav, he said, in the name of Rav Chana bar Abba, the name of Rav, Halacha, Krab Yehuda, that if the outer one snaps, it is batal. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Loch Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan tells us no. Rabbi Yochanan said not like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the outer one snaps, it's still a kli. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan say this? That the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? V'ha midematarus Rabbi Yochanan. Ali Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that we see Rabbi Yochanan clarifies Rabbi Yehuda's opinion back on Amar Aleph, apparently, he holds Rabbi Yehuda. Shema minak Rabbi Yehuda really. Apparently, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. How can we say Rabbi Yochanan rules not like Rabbi Yehuda? Says Amiraim, you know, there are two versions to Amiraim. What different versions regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Vali, but Rabbi Yochanan regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, how he rules, whether like Rabbi Yehuda, whether unlike Rabbi Yehuda. So, conclusion, we have the machlokes regarding the outer snap, whether it's the loop or whether it's the flap, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's nullified. According to Rabban, it's still useful because he could switch feet. Rabbi Yochanan rules like one of these shittas. We have two versions, whether he rules like Rabbi Yehuda or like the Rabban. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim as well. Kol Klei Balabatim, all the Kelim, Rashi said was speaking about wooden Kelim of the homeowners. Shi'uran kirimayim. So if they get punctured, a small hole, they're still considered a kli. Rashi says the homeowner, he spares his kelim, he doesn't get rid of it when it only gets a small hole. So if it gets a large hole, kirimayim, that allows the pomegranates to fall through, in that case, certainly it is batel, it is no longer a kli. So the shear of the hole is kirimayim. Boy chiske. Chiske asked the following question. What's going to be if nikav kimoitzi zayis? If this kli eitz received a small hole size which allows an olive to fall out, that's not considered to be sufficient to mevatel the kli. Ustamai, and the owner blocked it up. He sealed up the hole. Usasmai, v'chazer b'nikav kimoitzi zayis. Then, adjacent to that hole, surfaced another hole kimoitzi zayis, a size that allows an olive to fall through. Once again, Usasmai the Balbais stuffed it up, sealed it up. So it got another hole, another hole, another hole, all next to each other. Actually, Shlivoi Lemoitzi Riman, until the entire sealed portion, the repair portion, totaled the size which would allow Riman to fall out. Mao, what would be the halach in this case? So it's interesting that the hole didn't happen all at once. It was incrementally. There was a small hole, close it up. Another small hole right next to it, close it up. So in reality, there was never a large hole at a single point in time. However, the total amount that's missing from this kli equals a rimoy. So what is the halacha here? Do we say, well, this kli is missing this large amount, therefore it's tar? And meaning that if it was tamei to begin with, it is no longer tamei. Certainly it's mekabel tumah from now on, going forward. But if it was tamei to begin with, this kli is missing a huge chunk of it. Or do we say, no, since it didn't all happen at once, it happened just a bit at a time, incrementally, we don't combine the whole all the holes together. And therefore, since each single hole was merely the size of a zayas, it's not reckoned with, and this kli is still tummy. Mao, what is the halacha here? Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to Chizkiah, Rabbi, Shani Salano, you've taught us the following Mishnah. This was the Mishnah mentioned earlier. Sandal Shanifsuka Achas Mi Oznov. So we had this sandal, who one of its flaps snapped off. It tikkun, he repaired it. So the sandal was tummy midras. And it got this damage, he repaired it. Tummy midras, it still retains its earlier status. It's still tummy midras. Nifsuka Shani of a tikkun. What if the second one gets snapped and he fixed it? Now it's considered to be a new entity. It is no longer tummy, its original tumma. Ava tummy maga midras. It's still original tumma because, as we said, it touched itself. Now we asked you. We want to understand pshan this mission. We asked you. Maishna rishayna do kaimashniya. Why do we say that when the first flap broke off, it is still considered that same old kli? It doesn't lose its status. It's still tummy midras. Because the second flap is still present. And this kli is still considered a functioning sandal. Because even with one flap, it's considered to be a functioning sandal. Shnei nami. Likewise, when the second one goes, when the second one snaps off, why do we say that it loses its tumah? The first one was already repaired. So there was never one point in time that both flaps were off. When the first one went, the second one's still present. And when the second one snapped, the first one was already repaired. So why do you say that it loses its former identity? That when the second one snaps, it's considered to be a new entity. It's no longer Tamei Midras. V'amris lan Allah. You explained to us regarding that halacha. You explained to us regarding that Mishnah. V'amris lan Allah. Panim chadashim is bo'olakan. A new face has arrived here. Meaning, this is no longer that former kli. This is not that original sandal, because that original sandal is now missing two flaps. These two flaps were newcomers to the scene. They were repaired. So the initial sandal, if it would be missing these two flaps, it's not functioning. It's useless. It's utterly useless. It's bottle. So the original sandal is no longer here. It's only on account of these additions that we have a functioning sandal. This is a new identity. This is a new chayfetz. This is a new sandal. Therefore, it no longer retains its earlier tumma. It's no longer metame medras. So that's what you explained to us regarding that Mishnah. It says Rabbi Yechon, let's apply it to this punctured kli as well. Hachanam here as well. Panim chadash is volokan. A new face has arrived here. Meaning, the original kli is no longer present. Because the original kli is missing that huge chunk. So even though it happened incrementally, a bit at a time, at the end of the day, do we have that original kli here? No. The original kli that became tamei is no longer present because that kli is no longer functioning. It's missing that huge chunk, the amount which allows a rima to go out. And a kli that's missing that much is nullified, is batal. So that first kli is no longer functioning, it's no longer present. It's a brand new entity, a brand new identity, a brand new object. And therefore, it loses its former tumah. Since Rabbi Yochanan responded to Chizkiah, Chizkiah was very impressed with this insight. Kari Alei, he called out on him, he complimented him. Leis Dein Bar Inish, this is not a human, this is not a moral being, this is a malach, this is something beyond this world. Ikad Amri, some had a different version of his compliment. He said, Kegoin Dein Bar Inish. For instance, this fellow, indeed, Bar Inish, he's a great man. So two approaches. One is he extolled his spirituality, he's like a malach. The other version was just the opposite. Despite the fact that he's here in this physical world, he's a mortal being, he's a Bar Inish. Look to what great heights he has risen to. Continues Gemara in a similar vein. Amar Abzeru Amar Rava Bar Zimuna as follows. Im Rishonim Bnei Malachim, if the earlier generations are regarded as being so lofty like Malachim, Anu Bnei Anoshim, we are on a much lower level. We're regarded like merely humans, mortal beings. Im Rishonim Bnei Anoshim. Now, if the early ones were regarded like people, like mortal beings, so these are two approaches, based on the two versions we learned earlier. Whether the first ones are regarded as malachim, and the second approach is, if the first one, the early ones, are regarded like people. So if that's the case, if they're like people, then what are we? Anu kachamoyrim. We are equated to donkeys. V'loi kachamoyri shavchanim randaisa not. We're not equated to those unique, special, high stature, high level donkeys. For instance, the one of Chanin Radoisa, as the Medrash tells us, that the thieves came and they stole his donkey and they tried to feed it, and he didn't want to eat for 3 days because the food that they were feeding him was not kosher. They hadn't separated the tumas and maisus. So he refused to eat for 3 days until they decided. They were so exasperated, the thief, they said, it's going to drop dead right here. Let him go. They opened the door and they let him go, and he went back to his owner, to Chanin Radoisa's home. So this was a special donkey, belonged to a tzaddik, and his holiness affected his belongings as well. So we can't even equate ourselves to that chamor, and nor to the chamor shel Rav Pinchas ben Yair, as well. The Gemara tells us in Chulin, he refused to eat something which was not maisered, from which the maiser was not separated. So these are special donkeys. We can't even equate ourselves to those donkeys. Elo keshar chamorim, rather to ordinary donkeys. Continues the Gemara. Going back to the example cited in our Mishnah, for which there's no concern whatsoever upon tying them, because they're meant to be tied and untied on a daily basis. Mishnah gives us an example, these flasks, these leather containers of wine and oil, which are tied shut. Says, what's the chiddushim? Pshita, it's self-evident. These things are constantly tied and retied on a daily basis. Why do you need to tell me this? Lo tzricha, says Zimra, must be speaking about the islay tratiuni. This pouch, this container has two uni. Uni means air. So it has two flaps, which they would tie down. Maldatema, perhaps you would say, chadu minayu bitu mavatla. Since he can merely just open one of these flaps, doesn't he really open both of them? So one of them is bituli mavatla. He nullifies, he leaves it there permanently. Therefore, perhaps it's considered to be a permanent knot. Kamash malon, the Mishnah informs us, there's no concern. Once again, because since either one of them potentially it can be open, stands to be open, therefore both of them are not regarded as a permanent knot. Continues the Gemara with another case, Kedir Shobasar, so this pot of meat, which was tied together using a garment, that as well poses no concern. Pshita, it's obvious, it's open on a daily basis, as Mole Tzrich, apparently we're speaking about, the Islay Shal Acha. This pot has a spout through which they could actually empty out the content. There's really no need to untie this garment. Malda Tema, perhaps I would say, Bitulim Avatila, that this fellow goes ahead and nullifies the knot, meaning he leaves it right there, the beggar of the knot, leaves it in a place, and it will remain there permanently. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah informs us, no concern, because we assume that he's going to open the beggar, he's not going to force the content through the spout, he's going to do it in the most convenient manner, he's going to untie this knot, and therefore it poses no concern, it's meant to be untied on a regular basis. Continues the Mishnah of Lezer Yaakov Omer, Kaishra, we have this rope, which he ties across the doorway to keep the animal in. And this as well is something which is mutter. It says, well, pshita, it's pashit. It's something which is untied on a daily basis. Like tzricha, it must be speaking about the islay tati isri. The animal has two ropes going across the doorway. Mal de tema, perhaps I would say, chadu minayu. Bitul mevatil. He can simply untie one and force the animal out, even though it's not really so convenient. Perhaps we have to be concerned that he'll do that, and he'll leave one in place. So one of them is a keshe shel kayama kamash malon. The Mishnah informs us, there's no concern. He's going to do it in the most convenient manner. He's going to untie both of those ropes, and therefore they stand to be untied, and there's no concern of a keshe. Om Rav Yosef, Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Halacha, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Indeed, the halacha follows Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's din, that regarding the rope, there's no concern. Om Ale Abayi, so Abayi responds to Rav Yosef. When you say halacha, apparently you infer that there's a disputing opinion, there's somebody that disagrees with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Amalei Abaye halacha mechlal de pligi. Is there a dispute? Is there a machlokes between two shitas? Why would you say that? This case of the rope is exactly a carbon copy of the previous cases in the Mishnah. Why would anybody disagree with this? Amar Le Sabai responded, "My nafka lachmina, what difference does it make whether I use this term or that term, meaning whether you infer that there is a machlekes or not? Bottom line is that halacha follows this opinion. So halacha lemaisa is true. We're meant to follow Rezim Yaakov Shita that the rope is no problem. What difference does it make whether you infer from my words that there's a machlekes or not?" Amar Le Sabai said, "Gemara, gemara, zemartate." It's like somebody tells his friend, "Gemara, gemara, learn the gemara, zemartate. Let it be just like a song, imprecise, inaccurate. Just sing it like a song." No, Torah is meant to be precise and accurate. Therefore, I challenged your choice of wording. Let's make a quick chazora, a quick review of today's daf. We began with the three different types of shoe and sandal straps. We have three brises. One brise speaks about a permanent knot in which a person's chayev chatas when he unties it. We have the case which is a temporary knot, and therefore it's only asim drabanan. We have the case where it is meant to be untied on a daily basis, and therefore it's mutal chatchila. The Gemara went into the discussion of a sandal which snapped. And the Gemara tells us that we actually have a machlekes. So if a sandal snapped, whether it was the oizen, the flap, or whether those loops in which the straps go into, so it depends. If both sides, the inner and the outer one, snapped, so the inner, the outer loop, or the inner, the outer flaps, so if both of them snapped, all agree that this kli is batel, it's not makabel tumah, it's muktan Shabbos, it's unfit for chalitza. If the inner one snaps, all agree it's still a kli because it's not so visible, one would still wear it, it still retains its functionality, it's still tameh, it's not muktzah, it can be used for chalitza. What if the outer one snaps, which is, it's visible, it's clear to all, it looks clumsy, one would hesitate to go ahead and fix this thing. So the question is, the fact that he can go ahead and potentially switch it to his other foot, in which it would somewhat hide the blemish, does that give it a din of a kli b'machlekes? Rabbanan say, yeah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's still batel, it's not makabel tumah, it's muktzah, and can't be used for chalitza. Regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, we have two versions. According to one version, he ruled like Rabbi Yehuda. According to the other version, he rules like the Rabbanan. The Gemara concluded and actually began the blot as well with different type of cases, in which there's no concern whatsoever, since these are knots which are meant to be tied and untied on a daily basis, and therefore they're mutar lechatchila.